be studying an essay from the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, who's known as the Tzemach Tzedek, talking about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to be talking about the two aspects of the Beis HaMikdash in bringing spiritual energy to this world. And we're also going to be discussing more in detail the concept of what's known in the Zohar as Memale and Sovev. And we have spoken about this in Tanya a number of times. And that is the two methodologies, the two modalities of energy that Hashem brings into the world. One is called Memale Kol Almin, that the energy is brought in according to the level where it comes, according to where the entity finds itself. And the other is called Soviv Kol Almin, and that means energy that is, literally Soviv means encompassing, surrounding, but it's energy that is too high, too powerful for the level where it finds itself. And therefore, it is equal in all the different levels. So this is the level of Memale Kol Almin, or higher. The higher energy is the Soviv Kol Almin, the energy that is in all levels equally. And then the energy of Memale Kol Almin, the energy that finds itself specific levels. We're going to be discussing the difference between the two to understand a little bit more. What does it mean, energy that's higher than the levels, energy that's in the levels? And we're going to also be discussing why is it necessary to have both of these types of energy? Why did Hashem choose to create the world using these two types of modalities? And we're also going to be discussing how we can bring that energy into our lives personally, and why we should, and what the advantage is, and also how the Beis HaMikdash, primarily that's the backdrop of the whole discussion, is how the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, was the place where these two energies were brought into the world and played itself out for the benefit of the rest of creation. So the text says as follows. There is a mitzvah, the Tzemach Tzedek says, to build a sanctuary, a Beis HaMikdash. As it says, they shall make me a sanctuary and I'll dwell among them. This is a positive mitzvah from the Torah to build a Beis HaMikdash, a sanctuary, a temple. And these are the facets, the Sefer HaChinuch, this is a book of explaining all the different mitzvahs. These are facets that are of primary importance to build the Beis HaMikdash. You have to make a sanctuary, a room. Sanctuary means a literal room. And in this room should be divided into two parts, Holy of Holies. And before this room should be another room called an Ulam. The three parts, which is the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, and the Ulam are called the Heichal. So you have a building called the Heichal, and this building called the Heichal has an entranceway, so to speak, a vestibule, a foyer, a lobby, that's called the Heichal, the Ulam, and then you walk into the lobby. And you have a bigger room called the Holy, the Kodesh. And then you walk through that room and you get to a smaller room. And that smaller room is called the Kodesh HaKadashim, the Holy of Holies. And altogether, the final small room and the bigger room in front of that and the lobby in front of that is called the Heichal. So we are supposed to make a divider around the Heichal. We're supposed to make a wall around the Heichal, like the curtains of the courtyard that existed in the desert. When the Jews built the temple in the desert, there was also a curtain. And this curtain, this divider, this wall around the, so you have a house, and then you have a yard around the house, and then you have a wall around the yard. As they say, everybody wants to have the white picket fence. So you have the white picket fence, you have the wall around the yard, and the wall around the yard is called the courtyard, forms the courtyard, and this entire area is comparable to the courtyard of the Tent of Meeting, of the temple that was in the desert, and that's called the Azara, the courtyard. when you have the courtyard, which again is surrounded by a wall, and inside the courtyard, you have the building, which had three parts, the lobby, the holy, and the holy of holies. All together, that is called the Mikdash. That is called the sanctified place, the holy place. Now, once you have the structure, which had the wall and the building with the three rooms, inside that structure, you have furniture in the house. What's the furniture? So in the Holy of Holies, the final small room, you have to make the ark to keep the tablet, to keep the Ten Commandments and the Torah that Moshe wrote. In the room that's in the before the Holy of Holies, the larger room, you have to have three objects. You have to have a menorah, you have to have a table, and this table was not an ordinary table, it was a wooden table plated with solid gold, a golden table with wood as its base, as its underlying base. And on that table, they used to put the showbread, special challah. It wasn't actually challah, it was actually matzah, the 12 loaves, and it was there all week on the table. And also there was a small altar, a small mizbeach, that they used to burn incense twice a day. So this was the furniture, these four objects, the ark with the tablets, with the luchos, which was in the Holy of Holies, the final small room, and the other three items that was in the table, the menorah, the table, and the small altar that was in the larger room before. These four objects were inside the building. Outside the building, you had to make another mizbeach, another altar, and that other altar was used not for incense, but it was used for actually offering up the animal sacrifices and the bird sacrifices and the flower sacrifices and the wine and the oil and all the other stuff. Inside the altar was in the altar inside in the building, they only offered up incense twice a day. Yes, it was used constantly, but only incense. Never animals or any other type of thing. Once a year, a little bit of blood from Yom Kippur, from the animals that were offered outside. Otherwise, they never even brought blood inside. But outside, they would offer all the offerings that we read about in the Torah were done on the outside altar in the courtyard under the open air in the yard of the temple, the yard of the Beis HaMikdash. So that the Tzemach Tzedek and this style of the Tzemach Tzedek in this particular book called Derech Mitzvei Secha, the way of the mitzvahs, understanding the mitzvahs, is to first explain to us the basic halachic parameters of each particular mitzvah. And then the Tzemach Tzedek begins to discuss why are these parameters necessary and how to understand them according to the inner understanding of the Torah, the mystical understanding of the Torah, the Hasidic interpretation that based on the Zohar and the various Kabbalistic works. So now we have this understanding of the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, and we have quoted from the Sefer HaChinuch, a book that, as I mentioned to you, explains all the 613 mitzvahs in a short way, in a way to give us a little glimpse into all the mitzvahs. And we have explained that the Beis HaMikdash, essentially the temple, has two major components. It has a courtyard that's surrounded by a wall, and it has a building inside the courtyard that has three rooms. That's the structure. Inside the structure and also outside the structure, we have five pieces of furniture, if you want to call it that, an altar, a mizbeach, that's outside under the open air for the animal offerings, and then a smaller altar and a table and a menorah in one room, and the aron, the ark for the tablets and the Torah of Moshe, in the smaller final room called the Holy of Holies. The Tzemach Tzedek is now going to explain to us why, in fact, was it important. In other words, what is the main purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? We understand the main purpose is to offer offerings. Rambam tells us this in exactly that terminology. The purpose of building the temple is not to have a house. It's not to have a building. It's to be able to offer karbanos, offerings. Rambam, in fact, writes that if we don't have the temple for any reason, it's been destroyed, which is what we have today, unfortunately, and we have not built the temple, and we don't have the structure itself, we can still offer all the offerings. As long as we know the place of the Mizbeach, as long as we know where the offerings are supposed to be done, and the place of the Mizbeach is a very precise location, we can fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't need a building. It's like saying, if a person has a piece of land, can you live in the piece of land just by putting a sleeping bag on the floor? Yes, of course you can. Do you need a house? Well, you only need a house if the weather is bad. If the weather is good, you can sleep outside in your backyard, or you can have a buy a piece of land, or go camping and put your sleeping bag on the floor, or even no sleeping bag, just go to sleep. So if the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is a meeting place between man and God, it's a place where we come to connect with Hashem. Why do we need a building? Why do we need furniture even in the building? The only thing we need is a spot to actually do the mitzvah of bringing the karbanos. We actually need a spot where we have to build up a mizbeach, an altar. Otherwise, everything else is a luxury. Everything else is important, but it's a luxury. In the second Beis HaMikdash, they did not have the Aron, the Ark. That had been hidden away at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. In anticipation of the temple falling to the Babylonian army, they hid away the altar for the entire 420 years that the second temple stood. The room was empty, that final room where the Holy of Holies, where they were supposed to have. And the service went on for 420 years. If you don't have a fancy table made out of gold, then you just have the challah. And if you don't have the lechem apanim, the special bread, if you don't have a fancy menorah made of gold, then you could have a simple menorah. When the Beis HaMikdash was defiled under the Greek oppressions during the story of Hanukkah, and they came back and they rebuilt the menorah, they had a very simple menorah before they had the ability to repurify the menorah. And when the temple was rebuilt, initially they didn't have enough money to make everything out of gold. So things were simple. The main part of the Beis HaMikdash, therefore, is the service, the offering. So if that's the case, why do we put so much emphasis on the structure? Building the Beis HaMikdash, making the structure, and it's given to us in so many details. In the Chumash initially, and eventually we find the Second Temple's exact dimensions in the Book of Kings, in the Book of Melachim, in the Torah, we find it in the Mishnah, and we find in the Book of Yecheskel, Ezekiel, describes to us exactly the dimensions of the third Beis HaMikdash, which we are all studying about during this time of the year, which is why we're learning this right now, because of course we're praying for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash of the Temple. And by studying concerning the temple, it's considered as if we're actually involved in rebuilding the temple. One brings to the other. The study brings to the actual rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash of the temple. So the Tzemach Tzedek is going to explain to us that when Hashem created the world, now we're going to talk about on the mystical side. Why, in fact, does the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, have these two aspects? When Hashem created the world, Hashem created the world. The concept of sanctuary and its utensils can be understood based on the following points. The fundamental intent, which was motivating the construction of the Beis HaMikdash of the sanctuary, is that godliness should be revealed within the Jewish people. Hashem wants the Beis HaMikdash built by us in order that his presence should be felt, should be revealed in our community, in our world. Not only in our small world, the land of Israel, the cities that we live in, but in the world in general. Our job is to bring spiritual energy into the world. The motor, the engine for bringing that spiritual energy into the world is the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. And therefore, we understand when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, it's very difficult to fulfill that job. And therefore, we were commanded to make the sanctuary in a manner that corresponds to the structure of the spiritual cosmos, in the language of the Tzemach Tzedek, in the language of Kabbalah, the Seder Hishtalshelus. Seder Hishtalshelus means the picture of how the spiritual energy comes from the essence of Hashem, the Creator, how that energy comes down to the world. And we've spoken about this in Tanya, but these are basic and very classic concepts to understand. When Hashem created the world, it says in the book, Tzemach Tzedek is quoting here, the Mishnas Hasidim, one of the early Kabbalistic works, the Tzemach Tzedek is quoting, and he says as follows. When Hashem created the world, there was, before creation actually, what was the world? The world didn't exist. The spirit, the physical world didn't exist. Even what we call the spiritual levels, the spiritual worlds, didn't exist. There were no levels. There was just Hashem, the essence of God, the essence of Hashem. There were no Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, the names of the four worlds, the four stages that the energy passes through. There were no levels before Atzilus. There were no levels. Everything was Hashem. That's it. Only Hashem's essence. Hashem's essence, God, however you want to call it, the essence of Hashem, in language of Kabbalah and Chassidus, we say Atzmus, the essence of Hashem, before any kind of creation, even the highest spiritual stages, decided that Hashem decided on himself, by himself, that he wants a world. That's what Hashem decided. So therefore, the Zohar, and again, the works of Kabbalah explain to us that there was a process by which Hashem took his energy and pushed it to the side. And this is in a manner of speaking for us to understand how it's possible that there should be even high spiritual stages, something that's considered to be a stage, a level. So how could you have, in a place of unlimited energy, how could you all of a sudden turn that into limited stages, finite, limited, contained spaces? Hashem can do anything. So Hashem, God, the essence of Hashem, decided to create a physical world. In order to do that, there had to have been first spiritual worlds, spiritual stages, as a preparation, as a staging ground for eventually creating the physical world. And in the language of Kabbalah, Hashem made what's called a tzimtzum, a contraction of his energy. Into this contraction of energy, so that there was now what's called in Hebrew, again, in the language of Kabbalah, an empty space, makom panui, an empty space. So God's infinite light contracted, tzimtzum, a contraction, its radiance, vacated a space equal on all sides. What does it mean, equal on all sides? That there was no higher and lower levels in that space. And therefore, we call it spherical, it's round. What does it mean, round? Because it's not, this is not physical terms. This is all in imagination terms, it's poetic terms. It means that there was no higher and lower, just like a circle has no sides. No side that's on this side, on that side, a circle is completely round. A sphere, a ball is completely round. You can't say the right side, the left side, it's a ball. Every side is the same, no matter how you hold it. So it's a poetic way of saying that Hashem created a space that is completely equal in its attachment to the essence of Hashem. There isn't a place higher and lower. Into that space, Hashem then put a pipeline of energy. In the language, again, of Kabbalah, it's called a kav, a pipeline of energy. And in that pipeline of energy began to be the first glimpse of levels. So again, you have a spirituality filling up the entirety, as a matter of fact, infinite energy that just is infinite. Hashem took his infinite energy and push stuff to the side. And again, this is a poetic way of understanding, not literal, completely not literal, and created an empty space where the levels of energy should all be the same in that space, and then began to introduce spiritual energy from the pool of energy that was outside the space. But this time, Hashem began to put that energy in a very, very methodical way. We can say in a limited way. And to begin with, there was a language of the Mishnah Chassidim, language of Kabbalah. There began to be worlds, stages, levels, and ultimately those levels were broken down into 10 levels. And we talk about the 10 sephiros, the 10 levels. Kabbalah gives each of those levels a poetic name to explain what their job is, Keser and Chachma and Bina and Das and so on, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzachot, Yisod, Malchus, and so on. The 10 sephiros that are drawn down in a direct manner, Yosher. So this is two patterns of energy. The first pattern of energy is infinite energy from Hashem. The second pattern of energy is methodical and not infinite, but a certain finite, a certain limited amount of energy. And that the even in the limited amount of energy, we have levels. Then some of them are considered to be more powerful, less intense. This is the way Hashem created the world. Now, let's talk the Tzemach Tzedek, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. And the Tzemach Tzedek explains to us that the Beis HaMikdash was a mechanism for drawing down both of these types of energy. The energy that we call encompassing, the energy that is equal in all levels, that was the structure. The energy that we call inner and tailored according to the level, that was the furniture, the ark and the tablet and the menorah and the tables and the altars, the two mizbeachs. Tzemach Tzedek is going to explain to us now what exactly to understand. Let's jump ahead a little bit. To explain the concept of encompassing an inward light in greater detail. Why did Hashem create the world in such a way? And the question to understand is, on the surface, since the fundamental revelation, the Tzemach Tzedek says, comes about through the inward light, of what value is the encompassing light? That means the way Hashem put inside. So the Tzemach Tzedek explains as follows. When a person has the desire to do something, you want to do something. You want to move your hand. You want to move your foot. You want to leave your house. You want to get into your car. You want something. That idea of wanting, that's equal. That is the same in all parts of the body, in all parts of the structure, and all parts of the entity. So we talk about the idea of wanting to do something, the will to do something. I want to move my hand. I want to move my foot. I want to jump. I want to do here. I want to go here. When I say I want something, the idea of wanting comes from the brain, comes from the thought process going on in your head. In order to actually put that into motion, now that desire from that will that is maybe your even unconscious will has to express itself through parts of the body. So you have some electrical process that is going on in the brain. That electrical process travels through your nerves. And the nerves specifically are going and they are energizing parts of your body. We understand that if, God forbid, there's a problem with the energy flow that's happening through the nerves, then even if you want to move your hand, you can't, unfortunately. You want to move your foot, you can't. So there is a difference between wanting to do something, and even if your foot wants to move itself, that means it's an unconscious, ordinarily would be an unconscious act, You don't have to think about moving and taking a step. So there is a certain amount of stored up energy inside each of the parts of the body. But if the nerve endings are not working right, the synapses, the energy flowing from the brain is not working right through the nerves, body doesn't move. So there is a need for a general plan, and then there is a need for that plan to be actually enacted through the parts of the body, to actually work itself through the parts of the body. This, that Tzemach Tzedek says, is an example for us to understand the sovev energy, the encompassing energy, and then the memale energy, the energy that is according to the level. This sovev energy is Hashem's desire, Hashem's will. Hashem wants there should be certain things happening. The memale energy is the energy that Hashem actually uses in order to make it happen. The nerve endings that actually make the fingers move, the hand move, the foot move, the heart pump, and so on. The both are necessary. Without the memale energy, without the energy that is making the hand move differently than the foot, the inner organs differently than the outer organs of the body wouldn't work properly. So that the foot has to have a more intense type of energy. The hand has to be more delicate. The eyes, you can't do to your eyes what you can do to your foot. You can put your foot on the ground. You can't put the delicate organs on the ground. It doesn't work that way. The organs are too delicate. So that certain organs of the body need a certain type of energy, other different type of energy, and if they get mixed up, it's no good. The body doesn't work right. So you need to have the pnimi. You need to have the inner energy. That we understand. Why do you need to have the outer energy? Well, the outer energy is the will, is the plan. So let's see a little bit inside why the world has to be this way. So Tzemach Tzedek says, the encompassing light is not revealed in a direct manner within the created being. The inward light, by contrast, the inner energy is revealed in a direct manner. The encompassing light is concealed equally from the head to the foot. With regard to the inner light, by contrast, there is a difference between how it expresses itself in the head, how it expresses itself in the foot. These two concepts are dependent on each other. And the analogy is from our flesh, as I mentioned to you, each limb or organ receives a different revelation of the soul, varying according to the difference between whether it's brain, it's heart, it's liver. Similar concepts apply to all the limbs, hand and foot. The intellect is in the brain, the emotions in our heart, the movement is in the external limbs. The intellect in the brain is a revealed quality. The brain is filled, Tzemach Tzedek goes on to say, the physical matter of the brain will affect a person's potential for understanding. In other words, what kind of a brain you have physically obviously affects how deep you can understand it, how the cells in the brain are working or unfortunately not working will explain to you how the person understands more or less, is smarter, is able to understand more. Our mouths are filled with letters of spiritual powers of speech. Similar concepts also apply with regard to emotions in the heart. So Tzemach Tzedek is explaining that we can see from the body that there is a difference between the energy that's in each part of our body specifically versus the energy of being alive in general. What's the difference between an athlete and a person that's not an athlete? A person that has dexterity, a person that's able to write beautiful calligraphy or be able to sing amazing songs, and a person that's only able to speak or only able to write very big scribble. They both people want to write. Yeah, I've got some people who think that they know how to sing and they want to sing. People who want to do something and they're trying to do something, but they don't have the dexterity. They can't set the jewel in the setting. They can't be the fine carpenter they want to be. They can't be the baker, the cook they want to be. They take two left hands, we say. So what's the difference between a person that wants to do something and a person that actually is able to have the ballet or the figure skating or the fine calligraphy or the fine singing and using the vocal cords in such a way that should be amazing opera. The difference is whether you can actually focus the energy in the right way. Sometimes you can train yourself, but you have to have a certain type of delicate focus. So just because you want to do something, just because you have the sovev energy, the willpower, and a very strong willpower, it doesn't mean that you're actually going to do that unless you apply it in the right way. On the other hand, you can have a person that has the incredible talent, latent talent, not realized talent, talent that has not been acted upon and practiced, but you don't have the willpower, and the willpower is not there, and it's never going to happen. If you don't have the willpower, you're not going to apply yourself. So in our body, we see that there are two different things. And sometimes you could have a person that has incredible willpower, and because of their incredible willpower, even though the various parts of that individual's body, whether it's their brain or their ability to dance or their ability to cook or do calligraphy, even though it's not as potentially powerful as another person's, but because of their willpower, they have forced their body to do and to adapt and to become therefore more adept at whatever it is than the person that has the more talent, latent talent that hasn't been realized. So you have these two aspects in ourself. You have the external aspect, which we talk about. It's an external aspect. It's called your willpower, what you want, what your plan is, what is your goals, what is your desires. And then we have applying it. And applying it, we understand, is not the same as having willpower. And again, willpower and you got to have both. And we understand from ourselves, the more we think about ourselves, the more we think about the human condition and the way that humans work, we understand why each is necessary. We also understand that according to the will is the individual application of that will. And we understand that according to the talent is how the will sometimes also works. So if you can't do it, you don't even want to do it. Hashem created the world using both of these modalities of energy. So we say the will of Hashem to create the world, that will of Hashem is the external energy that's everywhere. What does Hashem want? Hashem wants every single aspect of the world to exist. What is the purpose, as we quoted earlier, is that Hashem's energy should be manifest, should be felt. The presence of Hashem, the presence of the Creator, should be felt in the world. How does it actually happen that Hashem's presence is felt and revealed in the world? That's why you have 613 mitzvahs. That's why you have a lot of details in Torah. So each aspect of mitzvah and of Torah is another way of bringing Hashem's presence into the world. In the Beis HaMikdash itself, since the Beis HaMikdash was the engine for driving Hashem's presence, for manifesting and making felt Hashem's presence in the world, the Beis HaMikdash itself therefore had to have these two aspects, a structure, and the structure was the mechanism for bringing the outward level of energy that we call will, the sovev energy, and that by building the structure, we created a channel. We created pipelines for bringing that structure, a structural energy. And then there was particular applied energy, and that was through doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash, through bringing the offerings on the altars, the inner altar, the outer altar, through lighting the menorah, through putting the lechem hapanim, the challah, the special showbread challah on the golden table. We created, we brought in Hashem's particular applied energy, which then further flowed to the rest of the world. And therefore, the Semel Tzedek will go through each of the steps of each of the vessels, and also the process of building itself. When the Sambalik can explain to us that when Hashem gave the command to Moshe, Hashem first spoke about the furniture, the application. And then when Hashem, and today with computers, we can understand exactly the same thing too. We have the applications. We used to call programs. We still call it programming. Today it's called apps. And the particular app or program that's on our computer is determining how the computer actually is functioning and what we get out of it as an end user. But then we have the structure. Then we have the motherboard. We have the processor. We have the mechanisms for bringing that, making those calculations that are going on in the background. And that is the structure. Now, the Tzemach Tzedek explains to us that since we're talking about structure, which is tied to something specific, tied to a specific product, obviously that structure itself is also in a certain way limited. And on the level that the person is, that even that structure is higher and lower. What does that mean? You could have a more powerful computer as a motherboard, as a chip, as a processing chip. You could have a less powerful computer. So you could have, some Tzedek tells us, you could have the greatest scholar, the greatest teacher, the greatest professor in a certain field, the guy who's teaching you deeply applied, theoretical mathematics, of high physics, theoretical physics. And then that person is the greatest physicist, the greatest mathematician, is then explaining it to their choice and prize student, who's not as deep, doesn't have as deep a mind as they have. So what the student gets is the concept that they're able to get. They don't understand it on the level that the professor understands it, the higher mathematician, the higher theoretical physicist understands it. And then when that student explains it to a student that's even less knowledgeable or on a less level than they are, then further you get a certain interplay. There is a general level of information that you're getting, but then there's a certain particular level that you can then take and apply to the next student. So on each level, you have what's called a makif and a pnimi, an encompassing and a particularly applied. So if you hear something, the first professor explains it in a certain way, and the student right under the first professor has a certain amount of energy that they have completely understood, a certain amount of the concept they've completely understood, a certain amount they don't, because they're just not on the level of the professor. Whatever they have completely understood, they can now attempt to explain to the next step, next level of student underneath them. That next level of student doesn't get everything, because if they would get everything, they would be on the first level, but they're not. So what do they get? They get what they can understand. What they don't understand, they hear with their ears, because they hear the words coming out of the professor's mouth or the graduate student's mouth, but they're not on that level. So what they understand is, again, called pnimi for them, inner for them. But what they didn't understand is called makif, encompassing, for them. And now they go to explain it to the next level of student. And so on and so on and so on and so on, until you get even a common person walking down the street is able to understand something from the original thought, the original deep physical, mathematical, or physical physicist, theoretical physics, or whatever it is, or high mathematics, or whatever it is. The person who had no background in math at all, no background in physics at all, can understand something. Everything else, they just plain don't understand. So everything else that they don't understand is still there. The concept didn't disappear. So where'd the concept go? Why don't they understand it? The answer is, well, that concept is makif. It's encompassing. So Hashem creates every level that Tzemach Tzedek explains to us in creation is similar. On each level, there is a makif and a pnimi. There is an encompassing, And there is a level of energy that is able to be understood, internalized, that's able to be understood. And the test, if you can understand it, is can you relay it? Can you bring it down to the next level? So once we understand this hierarchy of spiritual energies, we will understand why they're both necessary. Because in order to have a closeness with the Creator, a closeness with Hashem, we cannot only have the level of applied energy, because Hashem's energy is infinite. If all we would have, meaning all we would have access to, when I say we, I mean us, limited, finite creatures living here in this physical world. If all we would have access to is the amount of energy that's actually according to our being, according to our state, our status, then we would not have the deep connection that Hashem wants to have with us, because Hashem's energy is infinite. So therefore, we must have this mechanism of having Sovev energy, Hashem created Sovev energy, by which we can tap into a level of connectedness with our Creator that's way beyond what we can understand. We're so, in a way of looking at it, we're connected with Hashem, not on our level, but on Hashem's level. We're directly connected with Hashem because the Sovev energy is here in this world. The Makif didn't disappear. The encompassing energy didn't disappear. It's just not internalized. It's there. It's there, but it's not internalized. Meaning, even if you understand part of a concept, the rest of the concept is still there, except you don't understand it, but it's still there. It didn't disappear. So Hashem's energy, the encompassing energy, is still there. It's just that we can't internalize it. So if we have a connection with Hashem based on the internalizing energy, energy that is according to our level, then we have accomplished the inner desire of Hashem to have a connection with us, which then tells us that we have a connection with Hashem on the unlimited level too. Just had both of these aspects. The sove, the encompassing, the memale, the energy that was actually doing the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash that was used for actually fulfilling Ratzon Hashem, Hashem's will. And ultimately, as the Tzemach Tzedek says, the entire process is driven by something called oneg, which is pleasure, enjoyment. Hashem says, the reason I want you to do this mitzvah is because it makes me happy. So ultimately, by combining, by doing, using the outward and the inward, the structure and the furniture, we create for Hashem oneg, which is pleasure, enjoyment. And that is the ultimate connection. And that is what we hope to do when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and Mashiach comes. So I apologize.